we're going to stay with sport and Euro 2028. Seven matches will happen at the Aviva, as Des was saying there, including a quarter final. Details were announced in London last night. Media, sport and tourism minister Patrick O'Donovan was there, and he spoke to us earlier, first telling us what it all means.
Morning, Keane. Morning to your listeners. Yeah, look, it's a great morning. We had the launch of Euro 2028 in London last night. The UK and Irish governments, the devolved administrations and the Irish government. So look, it's a particularly good day. This has been spoken about for a long time, and the possibility of Ireland being a co-host nation for such a massive tournament has been spoken about for a long time. And look, we finally have got into a position where we have a launch, a logo, dates, what it'll mean for Dublin, what it'll mean for Lansdowne Road, things like that. So look, it's a great day.
Well, this is good for tourism, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Look, it's going to be a fairly long period of time. It's seven games altogether, including a quarter final. So there will be people that will come to Ireland who wouldn't ordinarily come to Ireland. It'll give us an opportunity to market intensively in countries that are going to be playing their group games in Ireland. And look, it's also a great opportunity for us to collaborate with the UK government and the devolved administrations in Scotland, Wales and Belfast as well, as we look to see how we can progress the development of sport, leave legacy and build on this, because that will be the most important part of this as far as I'm concerned, is, well, the legacy element.
Certainly lots of people coming to Ireland, as you say, but you know what happens, hotel prices, when major events happen in Ireland. In the past you've called it price gouging, you've said hotels are robbing people up to their eyeballs. What can you do to prevent prices going up for hotels when the Euros are in Dublin?
Look, I would appeal to hoteliers to make sure that this is something that is viewed in the long term. People are going to be coming to Dublin who would never come, and they're going to be going back speaking of an experience that they had in Dublin and in Ireland, because not everybody's going to stay in Dublin. Some people are going to stay in the commuter belt and further out, and they're going to commute in. And what I would appeal to them is, as I've done before, is to see the bigger picture here. And the bigger picture here is all of these people and these thousands of fans, or like the Lansdowne Road has a capacity of over 50,000 thereabouts. All of these people are going to go home and they're going to tell of their experience, whether that's in Glasgow or in Cardiff or in London or in Dublin. And we really don't need people going home soured.
Well, could you do anything about it?
Well, look, I mean, I would hope that hoteliers would use their own initiative and make sure that they don't do what, you know, people would expect them to do. Let them prove us wrong, and that dynamic pricing will not be part of what it is that they're about to embark on, because, you know, really at the end of the day, it's their own reputation that they're killing. I mean, the government have done in the last number of months a massive favour to the hospitality sector by way of the VAT change, which becomes effective in the middle of next year. They told us that this was needed on the basis of everything that was happening in the sector. So let them prove it now.
Well, look, you say this is about the game. Ireland will invest up to 93 million euro in the Euros. Some detractors say this money could be better spent upgrading crumbling infrastructure in Irish football and improving grassroots. How do you respond?
Well, we're doing that too. If you look at the last couple of rounds of sports capital, like, we have invested hundreds of millions of euro into field games, including GAA, rugby, soccer, all over the country. And there isn't a parish in this country that hasn't seen the benefit of sports capital. And we'll be doing another round of those as well. So, you know, we'll always have detractors. No matter what we do, we'll always have detractors.
The budget announced a new fund of 3 million euro for League of Ireland academies. However, the betting levy is generating almost 100 million for horse and greyhound racing. Should some of this fund not go to soccer and other sports?
Well, look, I can only answer for the department that I'm responsibility for. Horse and greyhounds is a matter for the Department of Agriculture, and has over the last number of years made sure that Ireland is the lead breeding nation in terms of horses and in terms of horse racing. But Ireland is putting its money where its mouth is in terms of the development of sport. I mean, we have in the last number of years put literally hundreds of millions of euros into capital. We have invested at grassroots, and we are, as you say, now together with Sport Ireland, who's my agent, agency with responsibility for the development of sport, looking at how we spend the government's allocation of 3 million for soccer. And I've already laid down a marker that I want something similar done during the lifetime of this government for hurling. And I've spoken to the president of the GAA around this as well. Hurling is very vibrant, obviously, in the counties where it's really strong. But there's a number of pockets of those counties where it's not strong. And there's also a number of counties that will never, if we continue in the way that we are going, be able to contest for the Liam McCarthy Cup, for instance. So I've made it very clear to the president of the GAA that I want to work with him and the organisation in the development of hurling across the 32 counties and across the other county boards, the international county boards as well. So we are investing in sport, and we'll continue to invest in sport directly from the department and also through Sport Ireland. And anybody who cares to take a look, we'll have the velodrome up and running shortly in Abbottstown, which is a centrepiece of excellence for the development of high performance athletes. And on top of that, we'll also be developing the cricket ground there as well. And cricket is exploding in Ireland in terms of its performance and in terms of its the number of people that are participating in it. And that for me is really important.
Minister, with your media hat on last week, RTE's head of video, Steve Carson, told us on the programme that the documentary unit in RTE would be phased out and more documentaries will be made by outside companies. There are strict journalistic and content guidelines in RTE. Are you happy with the level of oversight from RTE on these types of programmes if they go external?
I am, because RTE have to undergo a rationalisation programme. You know, we entered into an agreement as a government with RTE on the basis of making sure that the company could stay afloat after the whole debacle with the collapse in the licence fee and the absolute burning of public monies that was going on there for a long time. So we have been down this road on a number of occasions. I met the chair of RTE recently. He's very happy with what I heard with regard to the progress that's being made. But there are a number of outstanding issues, particularly in the area of rationalisation. And ultimately, look, the organisation has to change. It has to modernise. It has to get smaller. And, you know, that is to the benefit of the independent sector. The independent sector have for years decried the fact that most of the money from the licence fee was going directly into the pockets of RTE. This will make sure that the independent sector, and we will be putting a statutory limit on that, and actually RTE will exceed this statutory limit with regard to the production of the independent sector. They'll get a fair chunk of what the government is spending, either by way of the licence fee or direct exchequer funding and injections into the company.
Well, this week we heard former Fine Gael Minister Ivan Yates offer the view that media outlets are riddled with conflicts of interest. Do you agree with him?
Well, I tell you, I heard the interview on David McCullough, and it certainly gave me food for thought, and I have discussed it with the officials in my own department. Every year I have to produce a statutory declaration of interests because of the job that I have, because of the role that I have. This was something that was discussed at the time that RTE was saved by the taxpayer. We need to make progress on it, to be quite frank about it.
Well, there is a register of interest in RTE, but does Commissioner Mann need to put a register of interest in place for the commercial stations?
Well, you just cut me off, but like, this is something that we need to look at on a wider scale. RTE are not the only broadcaster in the country, and they're not certainly the only opinion farmer. And while they'll say, you know, journalists have quite rightly said that they're not politicians, however, they are very importantly and intrinsically part of our democracy in terms of farming opinion and in terms of guiding people in their opinions. And I think, based on what Ivan Yates said the other day, it certainly made me sit up and take notice when he said that this was a widespread practice, when he said that, you know, that this was going on all over the place and there was conflicts of interest everywhere. This is obviously something that is unsettling, and it's something that I've asked the officials to engage with Commissioner Mann in this area to see how we move forward from here.
Well, does the Commission need to put a register of interest in place on a statutory footing?
So we'll examine all of those, but obviously, look, there is quite a deal of fallout from what he said, particularly the assertions that he made about the widespread nature of what he termed conflicts of interest. And it's up online for everybody to hear how he referred to them, how he referred to engagements with political parties, how he referred to engagements with commercial activities. And an awful lot of these commercial activities could potentially be engaging with the public sector by way of, you know, regulatory or licensing or legislative measures. So this is something that I have to reflect on. And having heard his interview, and actually I listened to it twice to make sure that I didn't mishear it, and the assertion that this is widespread, it's seemingly common knowledge within the sector. You know, the assertion is that everybody's at it. It's something that that I'll have to ask Commissioner Mann to have a look at.
Are there tensions between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael over the media training provided by Ivan Yates to Jim Gavin during the presidential election campaign?
No, I mean, Ivan Yates made it very clear that, you know, he was kind of hasta la vista to Fine Gael. He has nothing to do with us, and he's gone from us a long time.
Well, I don't, but Niall Collins, your constituency and government colleague, he told this programme that comments made by Colin Brophy saying that Fianna Fáil has questions to answer about media training is an example of Fine Gael taking every opportunity to try and undermine Fianna Fáil and the Taoiseach. What's your response to that?
Well, as a minister sitting in cabinet, I can tell you that Fine Gael work really well with Fianna Fáil, and we have the utmost of respect for Micheál Martin's role as Taoiseach. And, you know, every week, week out, week in, the cabinet works collectively together for the good of the country. And there's, contrary to what people outside the cabinet room might or might not say, there's no sniping from a political party point of view. And we're not going to in any way lecture Fianna Fáil with regard to, you know, what it is that they're going through. That's entirely a matter for them. And by the same token, you know, I won't be lectured by anybody from outside my own party either.
Minister Patrick O'Donovan speaking to us earlier there. It's now 7:51. We'll be back soon with business.